same. Now I am become Death, the destroyer of worlds. I suppose we all thought that, one way or another.
Eliminating nuclear weapons seems to be the democratic wish of the world's people. Yet no nuclear-armed country currently appears to be preparing for a future without these terrifying devices. In fact, governments like the US, Britain, and France spend billions of dollars on modernization of their nuclear forces. And some say they have made a mockery of the United Nations pledges to disarm these weapons of mass destruction.
I stayed in the Soviet Union during the communist days for almost 10 years. And just like many other Russian people there, we were always afraid that America is going to attack with nuclear weapons. The same, I'm sure, Americans were fearing that Russians were going to attack. Now, interestingly, ironically, there was that state of fear that made each of the superpowers not attack the other. Now, we have moved on. There's no Cold War anymore, but the level of violence seems to be just increasing.
The United States plays a particular role in the whole nuclear weapons, global nuclear weapons system. Every other state possesses nuclear weapons in the world, directly or indirectly, as a result of the United States' introduction of nuclear weapons and in terms of their strategic relationship. Russia clearly possesses nuclear weapons to balance out the Americans. The Chinese possess nuclear weapons to balance out the Russians and the Americans. The Indians possess nuclear weapons to balance out the Chinese. The Pakistanis have nuclear weapons to balance out the Indians. And so it goes on. It all comes down to America's possession of nuclear weapons and particularly America's commitment to the ideology of maintaining nuclear weapons and seeing nuclear weapons as the currency of global power.
Throughout the ages, man has developed weapons to protect its people and sovereignty. But there are times those weapons were used to threaten others into submission. 16th century Italian political scientist Machiavelli stressed the importance of governing people by advocating fear, a philosophy some leaders still share.
I believe the United States of America must remain a standard bearer in the conduct of war. That is what makes us different from those whom we fight. That is a source of our strength.
The shadow of the threat of nuclear bombs is cast over the whole world. While some governments argue that the existence of nuclear bombs forms stability, others foresee a doomed future.
I was in Moscow, I was in Leningrad, St. Petersburg now. Walking around, life looks to be normal. But every single day, everything took you back every day to think about the threat that was facing you as a human being, and then Russia and Soviet Union a group of nations. Many Russian friends of mine, many Russian people that I could see, were living a life of fear.
They have produced peace out of fear. That cannot be sustainable peace. The world cannot live on peace out of fear. That in itself is a threat to humans' peace of mind.
We have some very original experiences in our region of the world. First of all, Latin America became the first region to create a non-nuclear area, which is enshrined in the Tlatelolco Treaty of the late 60s.
For over 60 years, the United Nations has been unable to establish sustainable security in the world. Although the majority of nations pursue a world free of nuclear weapons, the more dominant nuclear-armed states are reluctant to give up their weapons of mass destruction, creating a geopolitical fear to other states that choose to keep the bombs as a deterrent. Following the end of the Cold War, 18 countries held nuclear weapons. But in 1989, prior to the collapse of the apartheid regime, South Africa disarmed its nuclear arms. And in 1995, Kazakhstan voluntarily relinquished its entire nuclear weapons stockpile and joined the Non-Proliferation Treaty. Belarus and Ukraine did the same the following year. Countries without nuclear bombs continue to voice their concern and call for a world without them. An event attracting representatives from over 60 countries was hosted in Tehran, Iran, calling for global nuclear disarmament and the right to peaceful nuclear energy. Western powers claim Iran is in pursuit of making bombs. It's evident some medias offer a view of Iran as a nuclear-armed menace. However, evidence shows the country is far from this. Iran is a signatory of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. It has repeatedly been free of any evidence from UN inspectors for developing nuclear bombs. Furthermore, the leader of the Islamic Republic issued a fatwa on nuclear weapons, considering the pursuit and possession of the weapons a grave sin.
Many NGOs and governments around the world are now comprehending that the threat of nuclear bombs must come to an end, united in a vision that all countries should have zero nuclear weapons. But the reality of this has proven to be a far greater challenge.
South Africa is being used by a number of people as an example of how the Israelis, for example, could disarm. Because the Israelis have not admitted they have nuclear weapons. There is no official statement that they have it, just as South Africa did not admit. And it could be that there may be a model, or there may be lessons to learn from the South African experience that could mean that the Israelis could follow that model and get rid of their nuclear weapons, which they do have, everyone realises, even though they don't admit to it.
It angers me to know that Israel was one of those regimes that went out there to support the apartheid regime to set up that type of situation. I don't think that the South Africans, the apartheid South African government, would have thought, well, we just need to be a nuclear power so that we are like America and play our role in the Cold War. No. They must have wanted to have those nuclear weapons so that, first of all, they can cause mayhem around on the African continent. And if Africa united against them, which Africa had done during the struggles, they have that capacity and potential to destroy the African continent.
After the South Africans disarmed, that then enabled the whole of Africa to join in to becoming a nuclear weapon-free zone.
Although at the time of the 1968, when the NPT was formed, there was some kind of weapons program going on in Israel, but it was they somehow escaped signing, pretending or saying that we are not part, we are not making it, so they didn't sign the treaty. So that way, they are not under pressure. One country is perceived as threat, like Iran. There is no real evidence that Iran is making nuclear weapons. In the case of Israel, there is no pressure, because that is considered the ally of US. So they can have the nuclear weapons.
Iran is being constantly threatened by war and sanctions, etc., for having even thought of nuclear weapon. At the same time, Israel has had nuclear weapon for at least for decades and a large number of warheads. With another comparison, when we consider another comparison, the hypocrisy shows itself better. Iran has never been at war with any country throughout in the past 200 years, except that the war that Iraq imposed on Iran, and Iran had to defend itself. In comparison, Israel has constantly been at war since its creation with all its neighbors. Every now and then there is the fire of war between Israel and its neighbors, yet Israel is not a threat to the security and peace of the region. Iran is. This hypocrisy, I do not think, will allow peace and security, especially in the region of the Middle East, to spread, to flourish.
A document released in Britain in December 2010 revealed that Israel was prepared to use a nuclear bomb in the event of an armed conflict with its neighbours. The official paper discloses communications between a former British ambassador in Tel Aviv and the UK Foreign Office in May 1980. The document reads, "If they are to be destroyed, they will go down fighting this time. They will be ready to use their atomic weapon." With a rapidly changing Middle East, if the Zionist government's hostility grows towards its neighbours in the region, this could increase the risk of a nuclear missile strike.
Israel, probably more than any other state in the world, has had more resolutions passed against it and has broken those resolutions. And yet it seems to be able to exist without any sanctions because it is protected by the United States.
I think with all these things that we're seeing right now in terms of Arab Spring and people revolutions and so on, a new dispensation is evolving now. And I believe that this new dispensation in the Middle East will mean that we start having stable governments that are for their own people, stable governments that are democratic and so on. And I believe that usually those types of stable governments will seek to have negotiations, to have peaceful approaches to solving conflicts. People themselves, simple people in the Middle East, and now we're seeing simple people in Israel, are starting to rise up for change. So I think that we should put much more focus and much more support and perhaps our belief that the people can now force governments like Israel to do the right thing. They can force the United Nations, they can force the Americans to do the right thing.
There is a worldwide reluctance to think about what the consequences would be if nuclear weapons were used. It was discovered that virtually nothing is being published anywhere in the world on the self-destructive use of nuclear weapons, despite the great peril they present to all.
The horrors of Hiroshima and Nagasaki remain a permanent scar on the world. But the horrors didn't stop there. Numerous countries tested nuclear bomb explosions, seeking ways to strengthen their destructive force.
All we were told was to squat down, your back to the blast, close your eyes, put your hands in front of your eyes, and then over the tannoy system, they came, they were saying, oh, now the aircraft is in the air, the Valiant is in the air, and they're coming to the drop zone, and they counted down 10, 9, all the way down to 1, and then 0, and all you heard was a thunder. I tell you then to be ready because the blast was coming. You had to crouch down, put your hands in front of your eyes closed, and when you see an X-ray, that's what we see. You see the bones of your hands. Tests on in Christmas Island, on Maldon Island, and Maralinga, and Montebello, to find out the reaction of nuclear explosions on equipment and personnel. That is in documents released between from Q, written by very high positioned personnel in the MOD.
The NPT regime has probably gone as far as it can in preventing proliferation. It now has more weaknesses than it has strengths. And what we need to do now is to build a world community dedicated to get rid of proliferation, but that also means to get rid of nuclear weapons, to pursue disarmament. That has to be done by NPT states and non-NPT states in partnership with civil society.
The wrong or the bad side of IAEA is that is always under pressure from the Western countries. But the pressure is put on IAEA for certain countries, but not all.
The UN Security Council has to be reformed. Its five permanent members on the Security Council are the five major nuclear weapon states. That cannot be right. Either we need to move to a situation where there are no permanent members of the Security Council, or we need to bring in non-nuclear weapon states, such as Brazil and South Africa, into the Security Council.
Every nation, actually, practically, believes that some form of change is required in the Security Council, related to many problems that it has. Ultimately, the most important being that it does not reflect the world as it is today. It was created several years ago, many decades ago, and the world has changed significantly since 1945. And the present composition of the Security Council and its permanent members does not reflect how the world is going. So there's a very significant group of countries that is very actively engaged over the past decades, 20 years at least, in relation to this issue. And Brazil is certainly one of those that firmly believes that without adequate changes, the legitimacy of the Council is going to be called, the representation of the Council is not going to be adequate. Without adequate representation, it loses some of its legitimacy. Without its legitimacy, it loses efficacy.
Since the nuclear arms race began, over 2,000 nuclear weapons were detonated around the world. The blasts released radioactive poisons into the air, land, and water. To this day, many who fell victim to nuclear tests have demanded compensation from their governments, but received no support. The veterans continue to suffer from the radioactive blasts with long-term illness, which also passed on to their children.
We are all disgusted with this government, or not just the government, the MOD, because as I said, we've been going on about this since the 80s. And like all governments turn around and tell us, yes, they will help us when they're in opposition. But once they're in government, they don't want to know. And the MOD have still got their heads in the sand. They deny everything. They deny that there was any risk at all, which is, to me, it's ludicrous, because they were warned about it before the tests were taken place, had even taken place. Because some of the eye officers had told them, with the scientists, what they were going to test for. And they wanted to know the reaction of radiation personnel. I've got a bad blood disorder. And we discover now that my daughter's got a very similar thing. I've seen my colleagues that was on Christmas Island, their children and grandchildren are born deformed. So, you know, it is frightening. It frightens me to think what the future holds.
50 strategically placed nuclear bombs detonated simultaneously can destroy all life on the planet. The number of warheads in the world are far greater than this number. Together, North Korea, Pakistan, India, Israel, Britain, China, and France hold over 1,000 nuclear bombs. With the United States and Russia, the global nuclear stockpile amounts to over 11,000. The two countries hold 90% of the world's nuclear arsenal.
It is known that any use of nuclear weapons by a state is ultimately self-destructive. A nuclear attack by a state not only risks full-scale nuclear war, which would clearly have disastrous global consequences, but also endanger its own citizens, simply through the massive havoc that a nuclear bomb would create in the environment and the global economy.
Since the end of the war, the Americans have spent somewhere in the region of $8 trillion on nuclear weapons. Now, $8 trillion rolls off the tongue, but, you know, if you were to gather $100 bills and put them into a brick and then lay those bricks end to end, they would go round the world 180 times and create a wall that was more than 14 foot high around the equator. That's the sort of money that has been wasted by one country on these weapon systems that will never be used, let's hope.
It could be a blessing in disguise that nobody wishes to have a recession. Nobody wishes that his or her salary is cut. But because we are in a recession, because we need the money to fund our hospitals and education establishment and health services and Medicare and employment, we are short of jobs, this money could be utilized. And there is a possibility, a remote possibility, that this recession could work in favor of nuclear disarmament, that ultimately the governments of these worlds realize that this is ethically not right, it's morally not right, there is no worth in keeping nuclear weapons.
They are going ahead, spending all the time, spending a lot of money and renewing it and developing it further and further and further. It only signifies some kind of sickness in the theory, in the argument. There is a kind of sickness. There is such a love for power race. The more I have, the more powerful I will be. And the more I can influence the rest of the world. That is the sickness.
The US allocated $185 billion to augment its nuclear stockpile over the next decade. Meanwhile, British politicians have plans on spending £76 billion to renew their Navy's Trident missiles.
This treaty will set the stage for further cuts. Going forward, we hope to pursue discussions.
Although the reduction treaty of the United States and Russia appears to show progress, the two countries are reducing their older, relatively weaker nuclear bombs, while building more powerful bombs at a faster rate.
All we have is rhetoric. We cannot let this situation continue, or there will be a use of nuclear weapons. Therefore, the leadership now has to be taken by the non-nuclear weapon countries, who are in a majority. There are over 180 non-nuclear countries, some of which, like South Africa, gave up their nuclear weapons, whereas there are only 8 to 9 nuclear-armed states. The world's population requires that the non-nuclear countries stop begging the nuclear weapon states to do something and start taking responsibility to get that process underway themselves.
Many believe that this century is the century of dialogue and rationale, and those who possess nuclear weapons have wasted their money and resources, and moreover, created a bigger danger to themselves.